All right. We went a little bit over time. Gave me a bit more time to sit around and wait for doing this introduction. Thank you first of all to Annie, Anna, Nicholas, and the team from Capital Link for inviting me to Shanghai and to the Capital Link conference today to speak on a topic that at least we are very passionate about at 044, the incoming regulations of Fuel EU and the still fairly recent regulations of EU ETS. So my name is Ronnie Worge. I am the Global Head of Sales for 044. I'm based in our Singapore office. And for those of you who are not familiar with who we are, I figured I'd start with a very brief introduction of 044. So we are a technology company and a solution provider to the industry. We were first in the market with a software solution for owners and operators to manage EU ETS. We have also developed a solution for managing CII. And we very recently launched our Fuel EU Maritime module at the SMM in Hamburg, which has been well received and something we're having a lot of conversations around these days. We believe in the importance of being able to manage all of your regulatory and environmental challenges, the reporting, the settlements, everything that happens around it in one place so that you can manage it strategically and across your fleet. I'll get a little bit back to that later. Also showing a handful of our clients on this first slide where we do cover all segments and work with companies worldwide. Okay. So as we all know, the regulatory pressure is increasing on our industry. Last year, we introduced the carbon intensity indicator. This year, the EU ETS system was introduced, now in its 10th month. In 2 months, Fuel EU is being rolled out. In a couple of years, IMO's regulations will come out. Methane, and adding on to the carbon dioxide aspect, of course, methane and NOx are already part of Fuel EU and will be a part of EU ETS from 2026. So it's getting ever more complicated to manage all of these regulatory aspects every year. It's a challenge whether you're a small or a big operator. Currently, it's mostly a challenge if you trade to Europe, which more than 30% of the world's fleet does, and which the majority of the world's owners and operators do, with at least parts of their fleet. And so we believe that to manage this, it's not just one factor anymore, it's two factors, three factors, four factors, multiple factors. And they can all come together on, both for individual vessels and across your fleet, and they can be better optimized if you do this in a sort of a strategic and wholehearted approach. Because you have to think about a number of different things. I'm not going to go through all the questions on this slide, but we've put up a few questions that we definitely recommend that you ask yourself as an owner, operator, or manager in how you strategically manage your fleet going forward to ensure that you stay compliant, to ensure that you minimize your cost of this compliance, to ensure that you're not out of pocket or exposed beyond what you should be. And there's so many different factors across new fuels, new ship technology, and better solutions for making smarter business decisions, leveraging technology yet again. As a part of our journey in this, we have developed a framework of what we call the four maturity levels of emissions management, ranging across two segments of foundational up to advanced, and breaking it into four pieces from ad hoc through data-driven management to controlled management to strategic management. Sorry, I forgot to click the button. So here's the framework that we have developed. And as I said, foundational and advanced, moving on from the starting point of ad hoc management, where a lot of companies were a couple of years ago and where many companies still are. In conversations that we have with companies, we find that most are somewhere in the range of 1 to 3. Many are somewhere on the number 2. And of course, many have a goal of getting more towards the strategic management, but they don't know exactly how to do it, or they don't have the tools in place to do so. And we are trying to support companies in getting to that point. I'd say if you happen to be a client of 044s, you would be more likely in category three, because you would have a technology-enabled process for handling this across your fleet. Can mention in that sense that one of the things we have started doing earlier this year is carbon health check workshops that we do with companies. We've done these now all over the world. In this part of the world, we've done them in Singapore, in Hong Kong, and in Tokyo, either virtually or in person. There's a couple of companies in the room today that have sat down with us, and we've done the workshop with them. Trying to find out, I mean, if you're going to do a strategy and take a strategic approach to managing emissions, then the starting point should be that you know where you are today so that you can know where you want to be in the future, and then you can start setting the larger goals and the step-by-step goals of how to get there in the way you manage it. So you're welcome to scan this QR code if you want to know more about this. That takes us to EU ETS. I will touch briefly on that and speak a little bit more on Fuel EU. Given that this is a fairly short talk, we won't be going into the depths of any of these, but you can always approach me afterwards or later on if you have any more specific questions. We talk to a lot of companies about this because this is what we work with, but we still find that a large number of companies are in some level of a wait-and-see position on this. A few have detailed processes and software solutions in place. A few have built their own. We see this with some of the major, some of the larger technical managers, for example, and others have added this as an add-on or built something into their own existing solution. That's not an option for most companies. And very many are doing this in some or multiple versions of Excel spreadsheets, et cetera. Throwing a few extra people at the problem, at least for now, which you could do with parts, but it gets ever more complicated as the regulations become more complicated and have more options, such as Fuel EU, which I'm getting back to in a minute. And we even see larger companies be in a situation where they are handling, and I think some of the biggest cases we've seen is companies handling companies with more than 100 million euros in annual exposure to EU ETS who still use spreadsheets to manage their exposure, which is a substantial amount of money to not have a system in place for. I won't go through all the details of this, but there are a lot of parties that need to get aligned. There are a lot of contracts that have still not been entered into that we see. And it's now less than a year until submission of the first EUAs, and we're talking to companies still today that have not yet invoiced for any of the EUAs for 2024 that they should have received up to 9-10 months ago, which they will need to have in place for submission by September next year. So we believe there's a sense of urgency in getting on top of this. It seems the industry is still, at least across a large part of it, lagging behind in being on top of dealing with the regulatory aspects. A lot of text on this slide, but I only wanted to touch on a couple of parts of it. EU ETS best practices vary, of course, between whether you're an owner, an operator, a charter, or a manager. We believe that there are certain key challenges that we have identified in the work that we've done and certain best practices we have identified. And to touch only on the owner side for now, there's a challenge around managing the cash and EUA invoices. There's a challenge around monitoring the corrections and things that change over time. And there's a challenge in having a transparent audit trail, which you will need once your auditors come around next year. And we believe that in best practice, you automate your invoicing, you automate your union registry management and the matching of transactions, and you incorporate voyage-based verification into your process, which we do in our processes through partnerships with DNB and others of the verifiers. where we have full integrations with them and get the verified emissions data directly into our system, allowing you to do your invoicing and everything on that basis. Touching also a little bit on Fuel EU. Everyone's probably seen some sort of a version of this. We all know that it's 2% from 2025, increasing to 6% from 2030 and so forth. The penalties are already high, and of course they will quickly rise in coming years as the intensity requirements become stricter. A lot of the companies that we speak to are aiming for just paying the penalties and dealing with it that way, at least for now, until they find a better way. But what we see when you have a system in place that allows you to manage this across various factors, you can also then see which way of handling Fuel EU, for example, is the best one for this particular vessel or across my fleet. And of course, there are three main challenges the way we see it. The first one is the extended data set, which everyone's working on these days, trying to improve the input in our noon reports, trying to improve the input in general, because we don't currently capture all the information we need to meet the requirements of the reporting and information that we need to manage Fuel EU. And this is in part, of course, in great part, because it is a well-to-wake measurement versus EU ETS, which is only tank-to-wake. And our current systems don't capture all the necessary information, and all of this needs to be exchanged in verified format between the various parties of owners, operators, and managers, where ultimately the technical managers are responsible for dealing with Fuel EU, even though they have very little to do with the actual fueling or anything of the commercial side of the business. We see the second challenge as flexibility of the system, which was introduced to make it easier but also makes it more complicated with the pooling, banking, and borrowing. I'm not going to go into all the details of this, but what we see is that companies say, oh, we're going to do one, or we're going to do the other, or we're going to do a third one. But there is a lot of value in being able to put these up against each other in a full overview, where you actually see which ones of these are better for you, better for this specific vessel, better for this specific fleet, etc. And the third one, again, is stakeholder alignment. Similar challenges that you'll have with the UTS, of course, and the other regulations. But the forecasting and planning of GHG intensities, the agreements, and of course, many of these contracts are still not adapted or agreed. The clauses are not ready. BIMCO has not published anything yet, similar to EETS. It's probably going to come just before Fuel EU actually comes into play, so somewhere around Christmas time. And those are, of course, very owner-friendly, so they will be adapted. You will have a large range of versions of what they're going to look like. The data monitoring around the GHG intensities, the potential penalties, and the financial liabilities is also a huge challenge that a lot of companies are struggling with. And also ensuring that you have the actual proof and verified proof of these are the fuels that we've put on board this ship, and creating that element of trust. There is a big challenge in that as well. And another thing that we're seeing a lot of now is that charters, particularly the larger ones, are ensuring that they own the right to pool the surplus that they have, in a sense, paid for on a vessel that they charter in, so that when you as a technical manager sit there at the end of the day, you don't control any of the surplus or anything of the fleet that you're dealing with, because someone else owns it or owns the right to do something about it. Won't go through all of these here, but we believe that the best way forward for a lot of these situations is a combination of different compliance approaches to dealing with Fuel EU. Of course, the compliance planning process is complex, also because there's a lot of information that's unknown about where your vessel might be trading, etc. So it's difficult to plan entirely ahead. I will skip this one for now in the view of our time and just talk briefly about how we believe this can be solved in the best way possible. So putting a system in place where you can predict your emissions, your GHG intensity, and your energy use on vessel basis and fleet basis. Through this, you can develop a strategy which you can do on a multi-year basis, and picking the optimal strategy across regulations, across EIA, EU ETS, fuel EU, give it 2 years, IMO, and others down the road. Then you can execute and monitor the strategy that you've set, meeting your obligations, monitoring your agreements, your emissions, your GHG intensities, your costs, your pool performance, and on the basis of this, further improve. And so the circle continues as we drive towards decarbonizing our maritime operations. Just touching briefly, being my final slide, we published this about 8 months ago. It's been used extensively. It's a very basic calculator, but it's been used extensively from all over the world for the more simpler versions of this, of like what will the penalty be like, what is the intensity like using a certain combination of fuels on the information that you have. You're very welcome to check it out. This is sort of the very, very plain basics of the system that we built for Fuel EU. But this is one way to do a quick benchmark check on something if you're working on a charter party at the moment. So I think with that, I mean, in conclusion, I would like to say just that the regulatory operating environment is getting ever more complicated. And we believe firmly that the only way to really manage this as it gets ever more complicated is to leverage technology in doing so. So with that, I'd like to say thank you again to Capital Link for inviting me to speak here today in Shanghai. Always nice to be back in Shanghai. And thank you again to everyone for your attention. And if you have any questions on Fuel EU, EU ETS, or anything around the regulatory aspect, please reach out to me after the event or in the break. Thank you very much.